In this video, we are going to cover the 19 most common mistakes that I've seen in these 7 years of podcasting and working with hundreds of clients in our agency. So this could be a really fast moving episode, and I'm going to give you a free resource to download or check out at the end of this. You can also check it out in the show notes or YouTube description in the first link. It should be at the top of the fold. And without further ado, let's get in. Welcome to How to Get Your First 100,000 Podcast Listeners, where we talk about the very granular how-to tactics, as well as the big picture thinking you need to grow and multiply your listener base. My name is Luis Diaz. Let's dive in. All right, so like I said, I'm going to be moving through these really quickly. You're going to see my eyes shift back and forth if you're on the video version of this, because I have a giant list of stuff not to do here that I've just collected through working with clients and just working with my team and asking them, hey, what are some of the biggest things you see our clients, our clients in general, people in general with podcasting make mistakes on? So mistake number one is leaving your call to action to the end of the video or podcast. You want to make sure you have two calls to actions, one in the beginning, one in the end. Reason why is simple. Most people are listening to the front half of your episode. Very few people make it all the way to the end. So we leave it all the way to the end. Yes, they're more indoctrinated. They're generally a better listener, but you're going to catch more people if you put two, have one in the front. Okay. So two calls to action. One tip for me, I like to have my first call to action, like you heard here about the free resource. I like to have that maybe 10 to 15 seconds max. It's a quick mention. It's not a drawn out commercial. All right. So mistake number two is not having your call to action at the top of the fold in YouTube. So you look at a YouTube video like this one, you can see there's usually a line, a space where you can just see the first line or first or second line of the description. You want to have the most valuable link that you reference in the video there. That's why a lot of the bigger YouTube channels do this as well, because they're trying to drive traffic to that link. So make sure you have your most important link at the top of the fold and not buried somewhere in the show notes. Mistake number three is only having one format for your show. And let me preface this by saying, if you've been doing the same type of show over and over and over again, and your downloads and your views are not going up, your listen time is not going up, everything is stagnant, then it's time to change the format of your show. Maybe you're just doing solos. Maybe you're just doing interviews. Change it up. Recently, I posted a short about the four different types of formats you can use that have all generated over 100 million views for the creators that use them. All right, so check that out. I'll link it somewhere here in the show notes or in the description as well, as you guys can see it if you haven't. And that is a really, really interesting tip or interesting way just to get some ideas on how to change up your format. Mistake number four is using pre-recorded long intros. It's okay to have a pre-recorded intro if it's like 1 to 10 seconds long for like YouTube, but generally you're going to want to avoid longer than that intros, right? For both YouTube and audio. So this is not 2019 anymore. You want to make sure you have a short intro, something that's quick. It tells the listener what you're about, what the show is about, and then gets right into the content. We do not need to drag it on. You don't need a highlight clip or any kind of like crazy accolades to be stated. My general rule for this is keep it under, for audio only, keep it under 15 seconds. And then for video only, you want to keep it under 5 seconds. It's very, very quick. You don't want to waste time. Number five is creating content about everything under the damn sun. Don't do this. Yes, I understand for YouTube shorts, it may help you get more reach and may be better for the algorithm, but for longer form podcast content, this is not the same. So pick a lane, stay in it. In the free training or the free course I'm going to give you at the end of this video, there is a very important section at the beginning around how to position your podcast or video podcast. So definitely worth checking out just that one section around how to position it correctly. And there's some really good examples in there of shows who have done it really, really well, where they've stayed in their lane, but they've been able to attract thousands and millions of people based on a really unique strategy that they used. All right. So that's number five. Number six is doing an audio only podcast. We used to be able to get away with this. And if you are like a true crime podcast or a history podcast, you may still be able to. But generally what I've found is that those shows are super highly produced and they have such quality audio and such quality storytelling, you don't really need a video version. For most coaches, consultants, experts, authorities online, you're going to need a video version. Why? Because you're selling to humans who then want to buy your services. So we want to make sure you're on camera. want to make sure they're there building a bond with you. And the best way to do that is with audio and video, not just one. Number seven is putting the word episode in your title. We do not need the word episode in your titles. If you're still doing this, then remove it. At the very least, I mean, and this is still kind of bad, I would say just put EP, but you don't even need EP. You just need the number and then the actual title, all right? We don't want to waste real estate on the word episode. It's redundant. Get it out of your titles. Number eight is not telling people that you have a new episode out about your content. Yes, YouTube, Apple, Spotify, they do their best they can to find listeners for you, but you need to be cycling that content around your existing pools of audiences. So that's Facebook, Instagram, your newsletter, whatever it may be. Maybe it's LinkedIn, maybe it's TikTok or Snapchat. Wherever you have an audience, I would always tell clients this, pick two places besides your audio and video podcast that you're going to distribute content. For me, that's Instagram and Facebook. I've built up a small audience there. People know me. That's where I post content because that's where it's going to get the most reach. I don't do much on TikTok. I don't do much on other places. And I think about once or twice a month, we put out a newsletter that kind of rounds up everything. So pick two places, distribute your content from there. You don't have to go omni-channel or go crazy, especially if you are on a budget or don't have a big team, but it's important to pick two and double down on those two. Mistake number nine is not using curiosity in your thumbnails and titles. Curiosity is something that drives clicks and gets people to actually take you up on what you're talking about, all right? So you want people to click on your stuff, use curiosity, not fake clickbaity curiosity, but you want to be genuinely curious. So for example, here's a title that you can use for your next episode. Bad thing happened. Here's how I fixed it. Riverside broke. Here's how I fixed it. My iPhone camera stopped working. Here's how I fixed it. AWeber software glitch messed up my emails. Here's how I fixed it. Whatever the problem is, take your daily life, what's going on in your life, what's going on in your business, and talk about how you fix it. If that's what you talk about or what's if something that's relevant to your audience, right? So for this podcast, we could talk about maybe a mic glitch or Apple's a common mistake or glitch within Apple and how to fix it, right? There's so many things you could talk about in that. It's a really, really simple curiosity-driven title because people are going to wonder, what exactly did this person do to fix that issue? All right, mistake number 10 is not interviewing your best clients. I have a whole separate podcast that interviews some of our really great clients and also just really interesting people in general. I keep it separate from this one because this one's dedicated to podcasts and podcast monetization. But interviewing your best clients for me, and literally just talking about this with another client of ours today, it does a couple of things for you. Number one, it helps you build a relationship with people who are actually paying you money, right? That's a really good thing. Number two, it actually pulls out some information about their business that you probably didn't know, right? And it actually opens the door up for other ways you can help them. So a lot of times when I'm interviewing my clients, I'm learning about what wins their podcast is creating for them. I'm learning about what are some of the challenges they have in their business now. And then there's ways that potentially I can help them in that with those problems, right? So that's number 10, not interviewing your best clients. Make sure you're doing that. If you are a coach, consultant, you have a mastermind, you're an online business owner. It just makes sense. Number 11 is only focusing on views and downloads as the key metric you're viewing, you're following, right? One of the best metrics that I personally track that I think could help anybody become a better content creator and produce better content is your average view duration. If you look specifically in your YouTube videos, you'll be able to see, if you look in the analytics, what your average view duration per video is. And this number will tell you how good your content is, when people are dropping off. What is it that people are actually liking and what are they not liking? When are they going away in the videos, right? So you can look at the average view duration for every video and you can also look at the average view duration for all of your videos aggregated together, okay? That's super important one. Number 11, focusing on only downloads and views. Don't do that. Look at average view duration. And there's probably other metrics we want to look at too, but that's just one I think people overlook a lot. Mistake number 12 is trying to implement a ton of different monetization strategies all at once. There are four main monetization strategies that we'll get into. I'll share the link to the free course below. But again, don't try to implement them all. Just pick one of them. Now, the biggest factor that's going to determine which one to pick is going to be whether you have a high-ticket coaching business or some kind of high-ticket service. Do you want to go after sponsors? Do you want to use your email list or your existing audiences to bring on more clients? Things like that. So these kind of questions or the answers to these questions are going to determine which way you go with that, all right? So again, pick one, stay in your lane, focus on that one, do it for 90 to 180 days, and then you can switch or you can layer on other strategies as well once you get one working, but don't try to do all of them at once. Mistake number 13 is a very nuanced one. I see a lot of people make it, and I've made it a ton of times myself, so I'm by no means any better than anyone else. But mistake number 13 is creating content that is not related to the call to action. For example, if I have a podcast about, let's just say, dogs and dog training, and I have an episode that's specific maybe to cats, because I get a lot of questions about cats too. Now, let's say an episode on cats or cat food or cat training has a call to action for dogs and dog training. You can see the content is not really similar to the actual call to action. So that's a big problem. So make sure your content is relevant and specific to the call to action. That will help you increase conversions, and it's going to help you move more people from the free podcast or video show that you have over to your actual podcast or actual offer. Now, the closer they are together, the better. Now, you're going to have some episodes probably where it's not going to be perfect, and you don't have to create a whole new, you know, a whole new free giveaway for that. Just realize every time you're creating content, be intentional about how is it going to tie back to the free thing that you want to move your listeners into. All right. Keep that in mind whenever you're creating content. Mistake number 14 is not building a community of some sort for your podcast. As we start to get more automated with AI and all this crazy technology, the one thing that's going to be really hard to automate is community. All right. So build community, whether that's a newsletter, an email list, it could be a Facebook community. In short, focus on just building some kind of community. My favorites are either a Slack community or an email list. Generally, email lists are great because you can do mass communication really, really well, and you can sell different offers without being banned by some kind of platform, right? Slack's also good for this too, but it's a little bit different depending on your audience and who they are. They may or may not like Slack. You may have to jump to like a Discord or something or some other community software. But the moral of the story here is to build community in some form or fashion. That way you're not tied to the platforms like Apple or YouTube or other social media platforms. Mistake number 15 is not vetting guests ahead of time. This is your show. You have to make sure that they show up how you want them to. So two tips on doing that well. Number one, having form or some kind of document they have to read before that lays out how you run your show. That includes things like the time, the amount of time that you allot for the show, whether it's audio or video, whether you allow profanity, what is off the table to talk about, what is on the table to talk about, what your audience likes, what they don't like. These kind of guidelines help you create a good experience for both the listener and the guest. Now, the second thing you want to add in there is to really get them to co-create the podcast with you. So I like to ask my guests questions like, you know, what are three really interesting questions that I could ask you that you think my audience would like? This gets them working in advance so that you don't have to come with a blank slate and they can come with some questions that they know they can deliver on. Mistake number 16 is not using softwares like Opus Clip or Riverside's Magic Clips function to create clips from your podcast. Now, clips from your podcast are not going to make you, you know, blow up or be viral most of the time. Typically, that's going to be the content that is direct to camera that's made for the specific platform. However, I find that clips from your podcast will help you just stay at the top of mind for most of your warm prospects and listeners, okay? So it's not something that's going to hit a home run. It's more so you're creating these clips so you can hit base hits. The more base hits we can get, the better we can show up, and the better you actually get at creating clips like that over time. So think of it as a base hit, not a home run. So create content from your podcast using those kind of softwares. There's tons of other ones that we can list out here. I won't do that. But the moral of the story is every episode should be coming out with one, two, or three clips that you can use to hit base hits online, all right? So you can stay in front of your audience. Mistake number 17 is not doing swaps with other podcasts. Now think about it. If you have a podcast that serves an audience like, let's just say you guys, like business owners and creators, and I have a friend who has a podcast that talks about something different that also serves that same audience, why wouldn't I do a swap with this person? And now swap is kind of a loose term, so let's explain it a little bit. Swap can either mean I go on their podcast, they go on mine, or it can also mean that I do an ad in my podcast and they do an ad in their podcast for me. So we swap ad spots. Either one could work. The goal of this, though, is to expand your audiences, all right? And if you're not doing this already, I would say it's smart to just look at, like, how can I do one per quarter in the beginning, whether that's a swap. And I like to do ad swaps because I think it's better leverage time. But you can do either one. If you're not doing them currently, my advice to you is to start doing one per quarter or one per month, whatever suits your pace, and go from there and just measure and see what works and what doesn't. Mistake number 18 is not using dynamic ads in your podcast to share with your audience what's coming up or what do you have going on in your business. So there are a few softwares that can do that. One of the ones that we use is Captivate AMIE, AMIE technology, which basically allows us to do one simple thing, which is dynamically insert ads to every podcast that was created in that show really, really quickly. All right. So we can take a little 15-second intro. We can slot it in all of the previous podcasts in seconds, or we can take some kind of commercial we want to put and put it in the middle of the episode or at the end. And then once that promotion or whatever the event is over, we can remove all of those ads and it's just back to normal like it never happened. All right. So this is great if you run events. This is great if you run promos or if you have holiday sales coming up or anything that you want to tell your audience about, but instead of only telling them about it on the next coming episodes, you can now tell them about it through all of your episodes, no matter where they listen or what they're listening to, whether it was created 2 years ago or 2 months ago, they can hear that ad, all right? Super powerful technology. I know there's other softwares that use it. I'm just sharing Captivates because that's what we use and we like it. So at the end of the day, mistake is not using that. So make sure whatever software hosting provider you have, see if they have this kind of technology. And if not, I suggest finding a software that does allow you to do that. And the last one, mistake number 19, is not using one of these four funnels to monetize your podcast. Those four funnels are a book a call funnel, a hot seat funnel, a content upgrade funnel, or a sponsorship funnel. One of those four funnels, depending on your business model, is going to be probably the best route for you to use to actually monetize your show. Now, if you have a true crime show or a comedy show or something that's not related to a business that you're running, it's probably not the best fit for you. But if you are a business owner, generally, you are going to fall into one of those four buckets as the best route to monetize your podcast. So there's more details on that. It's all for free. It's in the show notes or in the YouTube description, and we'll link it around here somewhere. But that's it. Hope you enjoyed this video. If you did, or if you have questions or more mistakes you want to share, drop them in the comments and I would love to read them. Take care. Bye for now. Hey, Lewis again. I hope you enjoyed that episode and I hope you took something away that's going to help you on your journey towards launching a top ranking podcast that gets 100,000 listeners or more, ideally more. Now, remember, the focus of this show is to help business owners launch podcasts that add more profit to their bottom line and more authority and credibility to their name. That's what we're about here on this podcast. Now, if that's you and you want help launching your podcast and getting it to rank in the top 100 of your category or your money back, then maybe my team and I can help you. But hold on, I do not want you to take my word for it. We all know that you can go on YouTube and learn how to launch a podcast. You can hire a million different companies and freelancers and consultants to help you. So I'd rather you hear from other business owners just like you who have gone through our process, gotten the results, and love what they have built. Check it out.
Once I hired Lewis, he helped organize the entire show, the pre-launch, the contest. We had an epic contest, which was all Lewis is masterminding and his whole organization of how to do that. We had over 107,000 entries into this contest. If you're thinking about doing a podcast, don't think twice because the investment is worth tenfold, not two or threefold, tenfold for what you invest with Lewis.
Only a matter of a few weeks, the podcast got launched. They also supported me through the entire launching process, how to communicate with my audience to maximize the results. And when it did launch within a few days, we made it to the top 50 in two different countries.
We get about 25,000 downloads a month, and the podcast has literally completely changed my business. My podcast right now has 10x my business, and that's not an exaggeration. When I started working with Lewis, I was making about 40K a month. Right now, my business is making $400,000 a month, and I credit a lot of that to the podcast. And then when they listen to one episode of the podcast, they'll listen to another episode of the podcast, and then that cold lead will turn into a warm lead that turns into a hot lead that becomes my customer. Right now, I have 775 active clients, and a lot of those people found us because of the podcast. Luis Diaz is the man. He knows exactly what he's talking about when it comes to starting a podcast. He knows exactly what he's talking about in terms of getting your podcast to 100,000 downloads. Because right now, my podcast has over 225,000 downloads, and it's been about a year and 7 months.
I didn't just want to do a podcast. I wanted to do it the right way. We are at number 2 in the parenting category of Apple Podcasts the week that we launched. We're now hanging tight in the top 25. Could not have done any of this without your assistance, Lewis.
Literally, I keep asking Lewis, like, how can I give you more money? Like, what else can we do together? Because literally working with you has changed my life. It's changed my podcast. It's bigger than that. It's changed my business. Lewis Diaz, badass podcast growth expert.